This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And in for Mike today is Tracy Gregoire. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
As Mike is sailing away, drinking Bloody Marys and all.
Lucky guy.
My gosh, no kidding.
To be semi-retired.
I know. Yeah, I know. Can you give a little shout out to some sponsors?
I certainly can. So Casey's Rib Shack, famous hickory smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue on 837 2nd Street in Manchester and online at ribshack.net. Grasshopper's Garden Supply, where the customer comes first, 728 New River Road in New Boston and online at grasshoppersgardencenter.com. New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. And, of course, Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now open with drive-thru in Londonderry, redarrowdiner.com.
All right. And, listeners, you are in for a huge treat because we have on right now, we actually have, there is actually two guests in the studio in one body. Just listen, you'll understand. But first we are going to talk to Fred Marple. Fred Marple is from the mythical town in New Hampshire named Frost Heave. So welcome, Fred, to Food for Thought again.
Carol, it's so nice of you to have me back, despite whatever may have happened before. Thank you so much.
I'm very happy to have you here. So Fred, for people that don't know, and, you know, are maybe kind of wondering, they're probably on their Google right now going, Frost Heave, New Hampshire.
Where is Frost Heave?
So where is it?
Where is it? Well, here in the big city, if you want to get there, you could go south on 93 and then, you can't go that way. The bridge is still out from all that rain we had, Tracy. So instead, now you want to tell you what, you go over, you go back, go down to 101 and go, no, you can't go that way. Millard Tuttle had an accident with his manure truck. Now I come to think of you can't get there from here.
You can't.
You actually can't, as the saying goes. That's actually our town motto. You can't get there from here.
So what might one find in Frost Heave? I mean, what is there?
What is there?
Happening
well,
there?
It's a small New England town. It's so small that the enter in Frost Heave and leave in Frost Heave signs are on the opposite side of the same sign. So
is why you can't get there from here.
You drive too fast and you just missed it. You know, you've been to that town, I'm sure. There's a lot of them in New Hampshire. What can you find? Well, you know, we got the usual stuff. We got a market. Little old-fashioned market. It ain't a convenience store. There's nothing convenient about it. The problem is you go in there, you're going to see everybody you know in town. You can't get out there less than an hour because you're going to see everybody, and everybody's got a story to tell you about their cousin's surgery they just had or their Aunt Margaret that just got back from trip to Bermuda or something like this, and they got to tell you all the gory details, and you can't get out in less than an hour. So it ain't convenient. No, so. But that's where people go to buy groceries and, you know, necessities.
The market.
To the point of your show here, as far as food goes.
What do they eat in Frost Heave?
Well, what do they eat? I think I've told you before about the Frost Heave House of Pizza. Now, in New England, pizza, that's what we call ethnic food. You know, that's as close as we get. And they have some specialties there. They have the New England baked bean pizza.
Oh, my
favorite.
Goodness.
Oh, it's, you know, you laugh, Carol, but it tastes good and it'll keep you warm on a winter night, too.
It will.
But you just don't want to smoke in bed after. And he has, Chef Walter Dunton there, he has some specialties, like coming up right now because of a lot of visitors we have coming to the state. He's got a special pizza he's advertising. He advertises it as having four kinds of meat, all the vegetables, extra cheese, and a special sauce on a homemade crust at a bargain price. When you get it, it's actually just a thin crust with a little bit of sauce on it. He calls it the campaign promise pizza.
Oh,
a lot of people buy that. You know.
How appropriate is that?
That's timely for the season.
It is.
And then otherwise, if you don't eat at the Frost Heave House of Pizza, and you don't eat at home, you probably eat at the Bluebell Diner.
There has to be a diner.
Because it's New England. You got to have diner. And this is not, I have to say, this is not haute cuisine like the Red Arrow, Carol. This ain't even mid-haute. This is low to mid-haute at best. Their motto at the Bluebell Diner is good gravy, because everything comes with gravy. You get breakfast cereal, it'll probably come with gravy, you know. You get turkey, it'll come with a kind of a whitish gravy. You get meatloaf, it'll have a brown gravy. You get pasta, it'll have a reddish gravy sauce. And it don't matter which one you get, because they all taste about the same, actually, pretty much, you know. So that's the diner. People go to the diner for coffee, too, but if you ain't a regular, I don't know as I recommend. You got to build up a tolerance to the Bluebell Diner coffee. You know, that old bun burner has been sitting on the, back there since the Millard Fillmore administration.
Oh, my.
And it ain't been clean. Once a year, they clean it, you know. So in between, you really, the coffee that comes out of there, in a pinch, you could use it as paint stripper.
I bet the spoon probably stands up in the middle of the cup.
It absolutely does. So I say it ain't haute cuisine exactly. No, sir. No.
So is there any like activities? How about entertainment?
Entertainment.
In Frost Heaves?
Well, you know, there ain't a lot of talent in the town of Frost Heaves, as you can probably guess. We have Sophie Hamilton. She's the organist at the church. Sophie's 90, and she's slowing down. And her, consequently, right now, her internal metronome is set to the same tempo as her pulse, which is 55 beats per minute. She's the only organist in New England who can make "I Got the Joy, Joy, Joy Down in My Heart" sound like a funeral dirge, you know. So that's, and when Sophie's on vacation, we have a backup organist whose name is Frank Weber. Frank's a wonderful organist, but he only knows two kinds of songs: Christmas carols and Broadway show tunes. And so, like this time of year, you can't play Christmas carols. I just confuse people.
That's
true. So, like, coming up this Sunday, he's going to be playing, but he's going to be playing How Great Thou Art, Be Thou My Vision, and Great Is Thy Faithfulness. But he's going to play them to the tunes of 76 Trombones, I Could Have Danced All Night, and Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. So that's kind of special.
Keeps it interesting.
It's
that
kind
is
of special.
Special.
Yeah.
That, you know, Frost Heaves is a pretty special place.
It is a special place,
it
dear.
It sounds it.
It's New England. We love it.
Now, Fred, I see, and I got a copy of it, and I was so excited when I got it. You wrote a book.
I did. I did write a book. You know, we do this variety show down to Peterborough, and we've been doing it for 7 years, and at every show I tell a little story. So I thought, you know, after 7 years, I thought, my goodness, I could put those stories together and I could make a book without too much extra work and maybe make a little extra money. And that's what I'm all about, is as much money without as much work as
that's
possible.
Right.
You know? So the good folks up at Island Port Press, up at another big city, Yarmouth, Maine, was good enough to publish this. And I hope they don't come to regret it, but so far they ain't. And, so it's called Welcome to Frost Heaves.
You can't get there from here.
You can't get to here. That's the subtitle.
Now, how long did it take you to write this book? Did it take you very long?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just, you know, after doing the show for 7 years, at one point I said, I better write these stories down. So I wrote down the story and I put it aside. And then I wrote another one, put it aside. Pretty soon I got a pretty good stack. This is the way Stephen King writes his books, you know. You just write a scene, and then when you got a big enough stack, his stack is quite bigger than mine, but you got a big enough stack, then you got a book.
There you go.
That's a little tip for all the folks out there in the listening audience who want to be famous writers like me.
Now, I did, you know, I went to the Frost Heaves website, and I see that Frost Heaves even has their own
currency.
Funny
they
money.
Do.
Yes, yes, it's a $3
front
bill.
Front and the back.
That's right.
$3 three, bill.
With my picture on there. It's non-tender currency.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. That's frostheaves.com. There's all kinds of silliness to go. And, Fred, I have two websites because I have just too much personality for one website.
So where can people find the information for the shows that you're going to be doing in Peterborough?
Frostheaves.com.
Frostheaves.com.
We'll be back in the fall. We're taking a summer vacation now for the show. But I'm traveling around on my own.
Fred is.
Tomorrow night I'll be at Weir's Community Park up in Laconia.
Nice.
And other places around promoting the book. But if they go to frostheaves.com or fredmopple.com, they can keep track of my whereabouts. That's how the missus keeps track about where I am. She looks at the calendar there, then she'll know where I am on any given day. You know?
So, Fred, any plans for a future book?
A future book. Well, Tracy, we got lots of plans. Right now, I'm thinking theme park. You know, Fred, welcome to Frosted, the theme park, you know, and we'd have like a ride that basically you get in an old truck and it takes you over a bumpy road, you know, things like that. And then of course, there would be Frost Heaves, the movie.
Of course.
Oh, so yes.
If you're interested, I'll put your name down. I'm sure I got
definitely
two pretty ladies here. You could be in the extras or whatever.
So when people go to look online how to get to the theme park, mm-hmm. it'll say
you can't get there from here. Yeah, right. It'll be a secret theme park. So I'll probably do another book at some point, but I got to collect some more stories.
There you go. Yeah. Starting to collect them. Oh, my goodness. So can people buy a welcome sign, welcome to Frost Heaves?
If they come to our show, we actually do sell the signs because we have the signs all over the place, and people were starting to five-finger discount them. we better just sell them, you know.
Well, I need one for my kitchen in here. Welcome to Frost Heaves.
You know something? I was going to bring one with me, but I had so much papers and stuff. I'll get you a sign.
I would love to hang one in my kitchen.
Yeah. I think it should be autographed by Fred.
Of course. Well, I have the book autographed
by
Fred.
That can be done.
Oh, my goodness, yes. So I think that, can we talk to Ken now by any chance?
Just a moment. I'll see if he's available.
Okay, hold on. We're going to make sure he's available.
Hi, Carol.
Wow, that was fast.
Quick change artist.
Hello, Ken.
Hi.
Somehow you look strikingly similar to Fred Marple.
Wait a minute, I'll take the hat off.
Yeah, take the hat off. That'll be better. I don't know. I think you should take the suspenders off, too, because I'm getting confused.
Okay.
Costume change.
Quick change artist. I need the Velcro. Here we go.
And the flannel shirt. There we go. It's a totally different person.
It is.
It's a transformation. It's amazing.
Okay, for those listeners that are just tuning in, we do have two guests in the studio today, although he is in one body. We are now talking with Ken Sheldon. He is the creator of Frost Heaves.
And Fred Marple.
Fred Marples, exactly. From the mythical town in New Hampshire, Frost Heaves. So Ken, where in the heck did you ever come up with Frost Heaves? I mean, how did that happen? Kind of sounds like it started about 7 years ago, maybe a little bit before that,
here's
probably.
Here's the story. My dad was working at a church camp.
Is this your real voice right now?
This is my real voice, yes. I don't know if it sounds that much different. But,
yeah, it does.
My dad was working at a church camp. He was the business manager, and he was in the office. And this was like where people would go for retreats and stuff like that. And a lady came in one day, and it was wintertime, or early, late winter, and she said, I keep seeing signs for Frost Heaves. How do I get there? And my dad, like you, Tracy, was laughing so much he could barely respond to her. And that was one of his favorite stories. And that tickled me so much. So I just made up the town of Frost Heaves and started telling stories. And I was doing a lot of performing at the time as a children's performer, doing children's music and periodically for adults. And so I would tell a Frost Heaves story. And after a while, I had enough of this material, and my wife said, you've got to do something with this material. And we happened to live like 5 minutes away from the Peterborough Players Theater, which is this beautiful historic theater, if you've been there. And I have a lot of friends that are musicians and actors and all. So we said, well, let's start doing the show in the off season, because they have their own summer season with professionals from New York and everything. But in the off season, they rent it. So we started doing the show 7 years ago, and it's been very successful, you know?
How exciting is that? I mean, to be, you know, it really coming from your dad, too.
Yeah.
You know, and then you keeping that on and, you know, 7 years doing the show. Yeah. And then now writing a book.
Well, it is exciting. I feel very honored and blessed to have good friends to help out with it and to live in this beautiful part of the country. I've lived all over New England. I've lived in every New England state except for Rhode Island. And when you do, I mean, you people ask me where ideas come from. I say, just go to the dump. Go to the post office.
I read that in the book.
Yeah. You just pick up stuff, you know. And
And you know, listeners, I have the book right in front of me. It's Welcome to Frost Heaves, New Hampshire. You can't get there from here. And Fred, Oh, no, I'm sorry, Ken. See, I have to
my wife has that problem, too, Carol.
I bet she does. Oh, my goodness.
I got a couple of other personalities, too, if you'd like to
no,
meet them.
No, no.
Two is enough for one
day. That's for another day.
Way too confused. Now I forgot what I was going to ask them.
You were probably going to ask where folks can get the
book.
Oh,
where can they get the book? Of course, Ken. Where can people get the book?
Most local bookstores. Gibson's has it in Concord. And,
Gibson's has it in stock in Concord.
In stock.
There you go.
And you can go online. Most online places. Our local in the Monadnock region is the Toadstool Bookstores. They have it. And you can get it online at Amazon and any of those places.
There you go.
Or you come to our shows, and I'll have it there, too. Plus, you get it signed, and there's no extra charge for me to sign it, which, if you're good at math, tells you the value of my signature.
And listeners, you can go to frostheaves.com or fredmarple.com, and you can find out all the info for the upcoming shows. Do you write anything else? What else do you write?
Actually, I do a column for Yankee Magazine every issue called Only in New England, and it's similar material. It's about things that go on in New England, the kinds of things we eat.
But the real things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The things, what we eat, how we dress, that kind of stuff. And yeah, and I write books and whatever other anybody will pay me to write.
So is that what you're? It sounds like you were an actor as well. I mean, you've been acting.
I've done some acting with the Peterborough Players, and I'm mostly a writer though, and I just I like to write all different kinds of things, written plays and that kind of stuff. But I worked for Byte Magazine years ago. That was like the first computer magazine, and so that was sort of my introduction to publishing. And really, publishing is publishing, whether it's computer magazines or kids' books or whatever. So that's where I got my start. And I did technical writing for years for money, and then was just fortunate enough to sort of slide into this whole humor comedy thing.
Now, was acting for you something happened later in life, or did you love it as a kid?
You know what's funny? I took a big break from fifth grade. I was in Mr. Grumpy's toy shop. I was Mr. Grumpy, and this was a job that required me to be on stage and not sing, which I could do. And then I really didn't act until I was in my mid-30s. And I'll be honest, Tracy, my parents died when I was in my 30s, and life kind of what got flipped upside down. And so I thought, heck, I'm going to just do things. So it's like, I'm going to start doing things. So I started acting and did a lot of local theater. And, we did Godspell and Fiddler on the Roof and Music Man and all that stuff. And then I tried out for the Players and got some walk-on parts. These are small parts. You know, the Players is an equity theater, and they get people from New York. But they sometimes have room for locals. Like, so
right.
My specialty, I play guys named Joe. This is the guy who walks and says, "Your coffee, sir." You know, or, "Madam, the phone is ringing." You know that.
But you know, in the community theater, it really doesn't matter what your part is. It's just such a tight-knit group
Absolutely.
Of people that
Absolutely.
It's about the experience and
Absolutely.
Not how long you're on stage.
Absolutely. Well, in this area too, I think community theater has really blossomed in the last bunch of years. There's a lot of theater groups, and they're doing great stuff.
Yeah, you hear about it all the time.
Yeah.
Especially right now, summer series.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, my good friend Michelle, Michelle's son is up at Jean's Playhouse.
Oh, really? And we've done Frosties up there. What's
have
he,
you?
Yeah,
his
that's
name's
a great
Kyle.
Little, oh, my.
Kyle Trumbull.
I know Kyle.
You know Kyle?
He's our tech guy.
Yes.
He did
yes.
the tech for the couple of times we were up
oh
there.
Oh, my gosh.
Jean's Playhouse. Have you been up there, Casey?
I have not.
Oh, it's a beautiful theater. Fairly new, and a friend of mine, Scott Severance, is running it, doing a great job.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's funny.
That's a small world.
It's a small world, as Fred would say.
Well, I
Fred
love that you've
appeared.
Got a... It's back and forth. I love that you started that later in life. I think that's a great story.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, Ken.
Yes, yes, Carol.
Carol is frazzled.
just a little bit. Thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought. It's so nice to see you again
it's
and talk with you
here.
Again.
Thank you.
And listeners, you really need to get out and go get this book. It is a It's what did you say before? It's a book that you can just kind of graze, and you know, there's
the
all
chapters
kinds of stories,
are short.
And it's just fun reading, very fun reading.
Something you can have on the coffee table,
yes.
Pick up, read a story, put it back down.
Exactly.
In the bathroom, wherever.
In the bathroom. Yeah.
I wasn't gonna say that.
I know we're all bathroom readers. Come on, let's just admit it. You know,
it's true.
Except the difference is now it's not usually a book or a newspaper. It's a device.
The Kindle or something like that.
Exactly.
Right.
Phone.
Right. All right. Well, thank you very much. And I will like to hear about the second book.
All right.
So make sure you keep in touch with me.
Thank you.
And we'll have to go up and see one of your shows for sure.
Definitely.
Love to have you there.
There you go. Listeners, go to frostheaves.com or fredmarple.com and check out when the shows are. Stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back. And MHP is in the house, his segment Untapped, and he's here with the owner of Swift Current Brewing. So we're going to talk beer to end Food for Thought today.
Yay.
Beautiful subject to end with on a Friday. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Oh.
Is it?
Jada, do I go?
Oops.
You know,
he changed the music on
did.
Us. I thought it was a commercial.
Because you know what? There is a certain commercial that comes up, and I always have to listen a little bit because it goes into a commercial. It sounds like it's not, but that's what I kind of thought it was. So I wasn't sure. Sorry, J-Dog.
He's keeping us on our toes.
You stumped me. So welcome back, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And in for Mike today is Tracy Gregoire. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
As Mike is sailing away, drinking Bloody Marys and beer, I'm sure, and all kinds of stuff.
Did someone say beer?
We said beer, of course. I'm so excited to like end the week with you, Michael.
I am too.
Right? Right. So we are welcoming back MHP Untapped, Michael Helpley Pierce. There we go.
Absolutely perfect.
Right. So what is happening in the beer world since we've last spoken?
Well, I think that
you brought a friend.
I brought a friend,
well.
And I think Sam and I would agree that the fact that you can now put a baby on a beer label in New Hampshire is probably the earth-shattering news of the week here in the Granite State. Yes.
Well, that will get someone's attention for sure.
Well, it got a lot of people's attention for a long time.
We kind of tapped on that a little. Tapped on that.
Did
you hear that?
Yeah.
Oh,
see what
my gosh,
she did there?
I didn't
there?
Even mean to do that.
She's infringing
I
on your
really
puns.
Didn't even mean to do that.
My puns are all free range. You can infringe upon them all you want. So, yeah, it had gone before the governor, and the governor had said, yeah, really, I think it's detrimental to the state health to have a baby on a beer label for, you know, all the obvious reasons. And then there was some oversight with the House and the Senate that kind of said, yeah. That's...
Well, in defense, the governor said it took away too many, you know, guidelines. In her defense, she said the Liquor Commission had no, you know, restrictions. And I said, that's why you hired them, to make good choices.
Right.
And the House and the Senate agreed. And so they overruled and it passed. And now, you know, babies can come in from out of state.
You can see it, too, like right around the highway where it goes from Massachusetts to New Hampshire, all the pacifiers along the side of the road. You can just see the mass influx of all these babies.
Yeah, it's like the helmets come on the motorcycles, the baby's pacifiers.
Right. It was like the kids coming in from South America, except now it's babies from Massachusetts.
Oh, my. Oh, boy. That other voice that you were hearing, that is Sam. I'm just moving on.
Please do.
Michael.
Someone has to rein me in.
Wait, I am moving on.
Wait, I have to bring it back for a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
So I have to clarify because clearly I missed something. So this is about babies being on the label of a particular beer.
So Founders out of Grand Rapids, Michigan has a beer called Breakfast Stout, which has a picture of a very cartoonish baby with a bib eating a bowl of oatmeal, which is one of the ingredients in this beer.
I see.
Baby's not drinking a beer.
He's eating the oatmeal.
But the fact that there was a baby on the label was thought to be either an enticement to the underage or dangerous to the mental health of the state at large or whatever.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yes.
Now introduce our next guest, please.
Are you sure there's nothing else you want to say about the pacifiers on the side of the road?
No. I'm trying to get away from that.
All right. Okay. All right. So the other voice that you were hearing, you brought in a friend today from Swift Current Brewing, Sam Venator.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So what do you serve up at Swift? And you didn't bring anything, I see. It is Friday.
I
no
know.
Samples?
I can start changing that when I come in if you want. I can start making sure that we have adult libations for the show.
Oh, wait, I'm here next Thursday. Start next Thursday.
Oh, he's not on next Thursday.
No, we can talk about that.
I always miss out on the samples.
I'll bring Sam back when he's got some samples.
There you go.
Well, right now we are currently available. We have one of our beers on tap down at Millie's Tavern.
Ooh, okay.
And we're actually part of the Millie's Stark Brewing family. Some friends and I, we started off home brewing a couple years ago. And as all home brewers are apt to do, we said, here, try my beer. We are friends with Peter Telge down at Millie's.
He's a great guy.
And yes, he is. And he tried our beer, says, this is good. And last year, a law was being passed that allowed, you know, bigger breweries to house smaller breweries. And we're like, oh, this would be a great idea. It didn't work out the way we wanted. But Peter said, well, why don't you guys just come in? And we established a secondary brand that we are working with him, for him, together on, Swift Current Brewing Company. And we will be doing our next big batch of releases on July 25th, following the Summerfest Brewfest down in Manchester in Arms Park.
Nice. Which is a great event, and people can find that at, where's the best place to find information on that event?
On Facebook.
Okay.
And Granite State Brewers Association is sponsoring that, so you'll have pretty much all of the brewers from the state there.
And when is that going to be happening?
July 25th.
Ooh, that Saturday. Sounds like a fun
and
day.
That's in Arms Park.
And there's also going to be a little chicken wing contest there, too. So any restaurants out there, you know, want to bring your best wings in and see who can...
put your best wing forward.
Exactly.
I'm picturing a little chicken putting his best wing forward.
Shake it all about.
Yep.
Do the hokey pokey.
Look at Michael. He's in his bright yellow
shirt. I had
shirt.
To charge this shirt all night. You know, it's just...
You
I brought an extra battery
always
back just in case.
Always wearing bright shirts like
well,
that.
Well, I kind of look at it. If I'm going to go to the trouble it. To have a branded shirt, I'm really trying to get attention for
exactly.
the brand. And if I'm going to try to get attention for the brand, I'm not going to do it halfway.
That's right.
So...
I am with you.
I appreciate that.
I think that's great. I love it.
I'm actually with you.
If I could get Daryl to wear that, that would be like, oh, man. Although, you know, I say that, and I can get him to wear things. I'm so close to pink, it's not even funny. So close.
I could see, I've definitely seen some festive shirts on Facebook posts from yeah. tropical locales
with
Daryl.
It's not pink, it's salmon.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to tell him it's salmon. You are exactly right. So let's talk a little bit about Swift Current Brewing. So what types of beer do you brew there?
Good
awesome.
Beer.
Of course, of course. But, I mean, is there a specific, like, what are your names? Because I know a lot of these.
We have a River Runs Rye.
River Runs Rye.
It's going to be a rye IPA.
Okay.
Which is really yummy. Nice citrusy, you know. It's not going to be...
A little spice from the rye.
Yeah.
But you brought that on the podcast at one point, didn't you?
Yeah. So that's very nice. We have our Merrimack Mills Brown, you know, it's being down here in the Mill District. You know, we figured, a nice little brown that, you know, I call it the weekday brown. You know, after work, you go down, get something to drink, you know, end the day right.
There you go.
And then we are also having a summer wheat called the Summer Heatwave. With some nice Australian hops in there, because you know it's winter there. You know, we gotta mix it up a little bit. Go worldwide on it.
You picture koalas in their little beanies. It's really cold here.
Yeah. So we're just starting off. So our core beers are slowly building. But we hope to have more soon.
Are you bringing back the Irish Red that you launched with on St. Patrick's Day?
We'll probably keep that as St. Patrick's Day special.
Okay. Because they had sort of a soft launch at Millie's on St. Patrick's Day, and you had done, a 7-barrel batch?
Yeah.
Which is about 200 gallons of beer. Sounds like a lot. In the scheme of things, I mean, if you try to drink it in one night, it's a lot. But if you look at it from a manufacturing standpoint, it's really not that much. But that was a great event. That beer went over really well and went down really well, too.
So are all of your beers strictly in pubs right now, stores?
Well, right now... we're going through the licensing or bottling, label approval and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But hopefully when we launch the new beers at the end of July, they will be available in other bars. They'll be available in better bottle shops. And of course, down at Millie's Tavern.
Very nice.
There's a lot involved in
yes.
bottling beer and just you think it's just, it's a lot of fun. Let's start brewing. But there's a lot of red tape, isn't there?
Strangely enough, there is a lot of government involvement.
Yeah.
Well, it's also the thing of, all right, we made the beer. Now we have to get the name approved. Because you just can't name a beer anything you want.
Who knew? You guys always have these funky names, too.
Because all the other ones are taken.
Well, and I think
no, but I like the names because there's always a story behind them, it seems, you know?
People are drawn to become brewers for themselves because they are creative and they kind of don't like being told so much what to do, which is funny in such a regulated industry mm-hmm. that's the sort of people it would attract. But I do think you don't generally find boring brewers. You generally find brewers that have an interesting sense of humor. And so I think naming is something that, well, either you really enjoy it or it's sort of the last thing that you have to get done. But I think it's the fun creative piece.
Well, it's kind of like you're kind of like an artist, really, when you think about it. And artists are kind of funky people.
Well, and it's one of the things with sometimes the name comes before the beer.
Yeah.
Because I was skiing this past winter and I had a hot chocolate. And I was like, and it had a little mint to it. And I was like, what a hot chocolate mint stout. So
that's creative.
I made up a test batch.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, so hopefully that will be available come December time everywhere. So, just kind of mixing up the flavors.
So if I wanted to I don't know any. I'd like to really try to be able to understand this a little bit better because I know nothing about like home brewing and all. Like, how could I start myself like at home? Simple. Like, if I just wanted to get an idea of what you guys are talking about. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, not that I want to become a home brewer or anything.
I think you can make it as simple or as complicated as you want from a home brewing standpoint. You can do a 1 gallon batch on the stove with mostly stuff that you've got at home as far as equipment, or you can spend several thousands of dollars on a unit that you roll out of your garage into your driveway and do it outside.
No, I'll stick to
So to start really simple, you could...
They must have like a kit or something.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. There's some great homebrew shops. I don't know, am I allowed to mention a specific homebrew shop on there? So Kettle to Keg in Pembroke is absolutely the best shop in the state. Jesse Mertz is the proprietor, and he's amazing. He has the best inventories. He has some recipes that have been made just for his shop, but he also carries some big national brands of simple recipes, and he can walk you through the process. He'll even give you his contact information if you find yourself stuck in the middle of your process and don't know how to proceed. But you can do it for fairly cheap and fairly easy.
And you can buy besides buying a kit to do everything, once you have all of this stuff, they make like different kits where like all the hops and everything is all mm-hmm. comes together versus if you don't know how to try different recipes. My husband does this a little bit for fun with his brother. And they kind of started off like that where they would just buy a kit that was already like a specific IPA or whatever.
Right. You just kind of
put
it together.
And then they would start getting creative and maybe coming up with their own recipes and everything. So how do you do that when you want to come up with a completely new recipe? Like what goes through, how do you go through the process of doing that?
Well, you're not going to reinvent the wheel. You're just going to trick it out a little bit.
kind of make it your own.
Exactly.
Tweak it a little.
Some new
rims.
You're going to get the custom set. You're going to, if the winter, maybe put some studs on it.
A little bit neon.
get some spinners on there. Because it's trial and error. I would think we went through 7 or 8 different variations of our River Runs Rye.
You got to keep track of what you're putting in there.
Oh, yeah.
You end it, you're like, what did I put in there?
Yeah,
great.
Brewing.
You're not going to remember.
It's a lot of paperwork.
And if you're professional, then you have to have that data available for anybody that wants to look at your books
exactly.
and say, oh, well, you should have made this much based on your efficiency, and instead you made this much, and so you didn't pay enough taxes, so where's the rest of the beer?
Red tape.
Honestly, in almost all of the legislation, some of it comes down to protecting the public at large, but I think the majority of it comes down to making sure that you are able to pay your taxes, whether it's a federal standpoint where you actually have to file a $1,000 bond with the federal government before they'll give you a license. That way, in case you get back $1,000 and you owe them $1,000 in taxes, you don't actually, because they have this $1,000 bond. And for the state, where if you're a nano brewery, you actually have to be paid within 10 days of delivery of your product to a reseller, to either a bar or a bottle shop. And on day 11, if you haven't been paid, you have to report that person to the state liquor commission, and they get blacklisted.
It's like that with restaurants.
But it goes to protect that, and it's the same thing with restaurants, but it goes to make sure that A, the little guys can stay in business, but mm-hmm. B, they can pay their taxes.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. We need to take a break. We are in studio. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're on 107.7 The Pulse. You can also stream us live at WTPLFM.com. And we're in studio with MHP Untapped, his segment. And he brought in a guest, Sam Venator of Swift Current Brewing. So stay tuned. Food for Thought. I'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And for Mike today is Tracy Gregoire. It's
Hi.
Friday.
Yay.
I'm so excited. It's Friday and it's pretty. I've been inside all day. Is it nice out, you guys?
Yes, it is.
It is very nice.
Nice
out.
It was a little chilly start. It was a chilly start a little bit, but I like
it.
That's,
well, but it was ensures nice. That the day gets better.
Yes, true. Exactly.
And there was no humidity. You know, it was a little humid a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. So. So we are in our segment of MHP Untapped. Michael Helpley-Pierce of the Tap Handle Show. You can check him out on the web as well at the taphandleshow.com.
Perfect.
There you go.
And we just had an episode go live yesterday, actually.
Very good. And it's very entertaining. Very informational and entertaining. Really.
It requires a different mindset to host that show than it does this show. Sam's been on the show quite a few times, and we were sitting in the green room saying, okay, we have to remember this is FCC compliant, and this is not Michael's podcast. Yes. Leave those words in the green room. I'm very proud of you, Sam.
They've been taken out of my vocabulary. I don't even know what they are.
And Michael today brought Sam Venator of Swift Current Brewing, and we're talking about, you know, I'm anxious to see what Daryl thinks about that, trying out a homebrew. Now, okay, so if we go get the stuff and then come back to the house, how long from start to finish?
From kettle to bottle?
From start to finish.
Or till taste. Start to finish, meaning you bottle it or you taste it.
Or it could be an hour.
Okay.
Right. The actual cooking and the processing takes a couple of hours. And then you cool it down, you add your yeast. It takes a week or 2 weeks for it to ferment. And then you put it in the bottles and it does another fermentation in the bottle, which is how it creates the carbon dioxide. Mm-hmm. And that takes another couple of weeks as well. So it's you can turn it around in 3 weeks if you rush things. But really, brewing is not about rushing things.
Okay.
Unless you're certain breweries.
Or it's an imperial stout. Russian imperial stout.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I can't wait to try it and bring one in for you to try, Michael.
Well, maybe we'll have to brew up a batch on the show. I don't know if we could make that happen. A little hot plate, do a little 1 gallon batch.
Do you know any place that has like a kitchen that we could use?
I don't know. I don't
like
know.
A diner would probably be awesome.
Yeah.
Or a
you
cafe.
Think?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, a cafe upstairs with our cart.
Yes, the cart.
Right.
That you know, absolutely.
I mean. We're pros at
that. Happen.
We have our remote
I
mic.
I need to be on that day.
Because the thing is,
because you will be up there, I'll be down here.
Yeah.
It's just barley soup until you add the yeast to it. The government doesn't care until you add the yeast.
Hmm.
Once you add the yeast, then it becomes the government's issue.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good to know.
So we could even do it here, and I could drive it to my house, which is half a mile away, and I could put the yeast in it there, and then we could work it out from there.
It's all cool. My brother owns
I was going to say her brother
right?
owns the building. He's in charge.
All right, then we're going to bring my 19-gallon setup, and we're going to set it up right there in the plaza.
We're going to set it up right on the piano.
Yeah.
We'll put a tablecloth out on the piano. You know, we were at, Michelle and I were at Tuckaway Tavern yesterday, and I don't drink beer too often. I mean, in the summer when it's hot, it's like, oh, you know, I can have a couple beers. And we had it was a strawberry beer.
Yeah, she was telling us about that in the green room.
Oh, did she tell you?
Yeah.
It was so good.
Do you remember who made it?
I don't. And, you know, we tried to buy it because the bartender said you could buy it out in the store. And they have a lot of craft beers in there. Did
they
you know that?
They have a good selection.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A big selection. And she said that it would be out there, but the girl that was working it kind of didn't know what she was doing too
Uh-oh.
Much. I'm like,
busted. She just got fired, Carol.
Well,
I hope you're happy.
I even said to her, I mean, I know the executive chef. I'm like, go in and ask Bobby where the beer is. I'm like, just go ask someone.
We like don't
drop,
have it or
name
something.
Name drop.
Can you do a hair twirl on the radio?
Wait, are you making fun of me?
Totally.
But anyway, it was really good. I was surprised, you know, because I'm not all about sweet stuff. I don't like sweet, so I was a little nervous. Well, we tested it first, but it was really nice. It was a light. You guys were looking at me like, yeah, right. I don't do fruit in my beer. I'm sure.
It's funny, though, because a lot of men have said that before, and I see a lot more men trying fruity beers. Just saying.
Michael does not.
They're looking at us
funny.
Like,
no way.
Neither one of these. Nothing.
No, I will not make a blanket statement and say that I don't like fruit beer, because that would be an untrue statement. Generally, I find they are too sweet and cloying. If they're well made, I'll drink it.
Good to know.
I've never had a beer I wasn't willing to try.
There you go. All right.
Even cold and free is for me.
Thank you guys for coming on very much. And let's recap. We have a couple seconds of the Brewfest, which we'll talk about also, Michael.
Absolutely. We'll keep
July 25th.
That. Yes.
All right. And that's at Arms Park right here in Manchester, all day. Wing contest.
Available.
Give me more info on that so that I can keep talking about it too.
I will.
So up next is Kale and Company. I know it's not Ken Kalen because he's in St. Martin. Everybody's sailing or in St. Martin. Lucky ducks. Thank you, J-Dog, back there. And we'll see everybody on Monday, the 100th show on Monday. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks. Thank you.